This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. And it's 21 degrees, heading for a top of 27. Probably a little bit warmer than that. The next person we're speaking to, Paul Gover, is in Hong Kong. How are you, Paul?
It's cold and raining, Macca.
Oh, is it? Wow.
I don't believe it, yeah. And you know my sartorial elegance, Macca, and so I pack shorts and T-shirts to get me through 3 days up here.
Stand still or stand near the window, because you're dropping in and out.
Okay, I'm doing it right now.
Good. So why are you in Hong Kong, Paul?
I'm actually up here with Nissan driving the battery-powered Nissan Leaf electric car. And we're also attending a race up here. There is now a racing series, which is purely for battery electric cars.
Wow.
So it's like slot cars without the slots.
How fast do they go?
They'll do about 220 kilometres an
hour. You're kidding me.
No. They're proper open-wheel race cars. They look a bit like a futuristic Formula One car, which is a very deliberate decision to try and make them look more advanced. Lots and lots of car companies are getting involved in this. In Formula One, there are probably four manufacturers involved in what this is called Formula E, E for electric, obviously. There'll probably be 10 or 12 in the next couple of years, so it's getting to be a very big deal.
Now, I saw some stuff the other day, Paul. Call it on snow and ice. I wouldn't call it rallycross, but there were electric rally cars competing against internal combustion rally cars. And, you know, it obviously seemed to me there was some pretty heavy manufacturer involvement. So you're in Hong Kong to drive the new Nissan Leaf. What range has the new Leaf got?
270 kilometres.
Real kilometres?
Yeah. That's on the WLTP. There's a new testing schedule out of Europe, a real-world testing. That's 270 to the WLTP standard, which is a genuine number. They made us do a inverted commas fuel economy run around Hong Kong yesterday to see how we could go. The car performs quite well. It's a nice enough looking thing. Like all these things, the problem is it's $49,990. And the sort of people who are likely to buy one are early adopters. But to get it into the mainstream, electric cars have to come down in price before ordinary people are going to, you know, I can give you every logical reason. The logical reason, you know, your commute is less than the range, you know, there's no localised emissions, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is the biggest hurdle for them still is price.
Can I ask, just like a layperson, which I am on this stuff, in terms of the racing of the cars and all of that, is that an important part of refining the technology for the day-to-day cars and also to get people excited? Is that the kind of the dual thing, or is there other?
There's three reasons why they're doing it, three fairly predictable ones. One is it's proof of concept. So if people see electric cars racing, they'll think that they're not boring slot cars with no slots. That's one thing. Two is to bring a much younger audience. Younger people are interested in technology, they're interested in green power, they're interested in electrics, and these are the consumers of the future. And yes, there will be technology that they will learn from doing this racing program that then they'll translate back to future cars that are coming along. The problem with all of this at the moment is that we're in the very early stages of a lot of that stuff, and the biggest hurdle for me is quite simple. They go around the world racing these electric-powered cars with batteries in them, but they charge them up using diesel generators.
Right,
Like all these things. The problem with every single electric car on the planet
is it has to be charged.
Where does the energy come from? So, you know, yesterday when Nissan were telling us, you know, in glowing terms about the fact that the Leaf is the number one selling car in Norway and that some huge percentage of the cars sold in Norway are electric, well, that's a very simple reason why. Everything that all of their energy comes from, you know, hydropower.
Yeah, hydro or thermal, yeah.
Yeah, correct. And in Iceland, it's exactly the same. But in Australia, we burn coal.
Yeah.
So, yes, okay, we don't have any localised emissions, but we're still making emissions to charge these cars. And until governments understand that electric cars are coming, like them or not, and start to think about how we're going to charge them up. I mean, Macra and I were having a discussion the other night about baseload power and stuff in the country. There are some fundamental problems. Electric cars are coming right now. We have nowhere near the infrastructure that we need to deal with their future needs.
If you, Angela Merkel said a few years ago that if every vehicle that was registered in Germany and drove on the road at least once a week, so, you know, you start with a big number, then you bring it down.
Yeah.
Every vehicle that was registered and that drove on the road at least once a week was electric, and you plugged it into the power grid, the power grid would have the capacity to charge those cars for about 3 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So isn't the capacity to charge.
Yeah.
And see, this is why these conversations are so important, because people don't get that. People get, okay, you know, this is great, it's clean, and they don't even think about that. You know, it reminds me when I was on the Yarra Council and the Greens wanted to introduce banning the heaters outside, and then we worked out it cost more emissions to wash the blankets that they wanted to provide.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the butterfly effect, you know. Yeah. Everything's got this is, people need to understand this, because I think there's a snake oil salesman out there who give people, like me, a layperson, only one side of the story, and governments as well.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, you know, like I am in a position, luckily, where I can ask the questions. You know, somebody said to me the other day, oh, it's fine, we'll put solar panels on the roofs of the cars and they'll charge as they drive. That's great. It's been done. It's enough to power a fan to suck the hot air out of the car.
Yeah.
The solar panel off the roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
You know what I mean? Right, I do.
But the thing is, we've got all these, in inverted commas, experts who work in universities who love the idea of green power and a green future and all that stuff. They don't live in the real world and they don't talk to the people who are trying to make these things work.
Yeah.
We're lucky this week that I'm not having to talk about autonomous cars because Macca's co-presenter's not with us today. you know, there are lots and lots of questions. That's one of the reasons I've come up here, is to try and get some answers and some sort of clarity going forward. You know, the other thing is lithium and production, the batteries these cars use are lithium-ion batteries. It's a very toxic substance.
Yeah.
Where does it come from? How much is left? How are we going to produce it?
Where do you dispose of it?
Yeah, correct. It's all that. You know, there are lots and lots of other questions. But what's happening is a whole lot of eggheads are standing around going, Billy, the electric car's here, it's all done. You know, do you know how many have a wild guess. Last year, 1.1 million cars sold in Australia, total market. As for the layperson, guess how many fully electric cars?
I know, but you tell us, Paul.
Less than 800.
Yeah.
Less than 800? I was going to say like 10,000 or something.
No.
Less than 800.
No. Right. Yeah, correct.
And then
so
not,
this great green room. Yeah.
Well, it's also too, in terms of like the policy and the regulatory responses to these things, as you've rightly pointed out. If you've got the cheap seats from the sidelines going, we need to have, you know, 50 million electric cars by Wednesday, otherwise we'll have none, you know, it's the perfect being the enemy of the good. We have to be practical about this stuff.
And, you know, Paul, we have significant amounts of lithium in Australia, mostly in Western Australia. We should, as a country, we should be mining it properly, okay, but we should be making batteries in this country.
In Australia.
And the infrastructure to support electric cars, and there's a really simple way to do it, is government likes to talk about jobs, both sides of politics. You know what?
Yeah.
You say, we'll give you accelerated depreciation if you install electric charging points in workplaces and other places, community areas, provided 50% of the input to that infrastructure, not just labour, but materials, is Australian sourced.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know what?
Yeah.
You'd actually create a greater skilled workforce. You'd create export opportunities, and you'd also be able to make sure that the lithium is mined properly. But that's just a macro idea.
Yeah, but those are the great ideas.
But you know the really sad thing is, and I was doing a story last week. There's a lithium mine in WA, which is the largest high quality lithium mine in the world. Fantastic, owned by the Chinese.
Yeah.
So what happens is it gets dug out of the ground and shipped to China.
Yeah, but that's simple. You just put an export. You just put an export. You just put an export control on it. Simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about this,
Clive Palmer will sort it out.
We're not going to take it.
The thing about it is, you know, like we're not projecting far enough ahead because our people are only interested in winning the next election. Well, yeah. I should say, not necessarily, we're not losing the next election.
Yeah.
You know, because basically that's what's going to happen in the federal election. But this sort of policy is very, very, very important, and they don't grasp it. And the thing about it is they say, well, let's have all these fast-charging stations and then we'll have all the cars, you know, chicken and egg. Which comes first? Do we have lots of cars or lots of charge? Even if you built lots of charging stations without government incentives, which are, there are lots and lots of Tesla electric cars here in Hong Kong, but they get huge tax breaks.
Yes.
You know, the government has to say, if we're going to encourage electric stuff, we need to get them out on the road, we need to get it happening, we need to learn. Okay, give them a tax break. I mean...
Provide the info. Anyway, Paul, we've run out of time, unfortunately. Enjoy.
As always.
Enjoy Hong Kong. Don't choke on a dumpling.
maybe do.
Thanks as always. You've given us a nice take on a complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and next time we can talk about retirement cards.
He's going to be the CEO.
That's right, apparently,
I know.
Apparently I'm going to be, people want me to be the CEO of Joy. Yeah, well, there's more chance of me
standing
for election for the Palmer United Party. Thanks, Paul.
Great to talk, Macca.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.